Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to listen. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow the show on Twitter to listen to all of our past shows. Today, we had a show scheduled. We are going to talk a little bit about the Big Ten Media Days. Seth is with us as he went down to Chicago. Mike Cerner is also with us as well. But something the other day kind of takes a little bit of precedent over that. Nebraska punter Sam Fultz, former Michigan State punter, and premier Twitter follow Mike Sather, they both ended up passing away in one vehicle accident late Saturday night. And ultimately, so we are going to kind of put football in the background. We will get to what went on during media days, but there's some things bigger than football. Mike, I know you had an opportunity to go to the painting of The Rock last night, kind of a tribute to Sather. I know Ken Manny was there. I believe you said his dad was there as well, a couple football players. Just kind of take us through that, what the emotion was like. And
yeah, I mean, obviously, Tyler, really tough. I was out at The Rock yesterday, and we don't really like these paintings of The Rocks. We experienced this with Lacey and, you know, the memorial that The Rock could serve as. And we have Mike Sadler, you know, we had Geiger was out there. Kevin Cronin was out there. Sadler's father was out there. Coach Manny was out there. A couple other people and family members were out there as well. Very sad. Stunning, just like it is for everybody, you know, who knows the name Mike Sadler. It's very stunning to hear of his passing. And I was talking with Coach Manny, and Coach Manny just said, you know, there's just no way to explain this. There's no way to understand this. And there really isn't. And it's just sad. Mike Sadler, you know, especially him, you know, the first thing we think about probably is, you know, as you said, the wit in the Twitter superstar status. And, you know, you think about the trick plays and stuff, but underneath it all, you know, Mike Sadler was a human being. He was a person that meant a lot to a lot of people, and especially his family and his teammates. And to see that, you know, you could see it in the grieving eyes of the people that were out there, the family, and especially his specialist mates. It's just a very sad moment. And, you know, the only way you can really describe is a very sad day for Michigan State yesterday. And it's going to be a sad couple of days coming forward. And, you know, there's just no way to really comprehend, explain, or really get over it. You can't. You really just have to live in a way and respond in a way that Mike would want you to. And Mike probably, you know, he says, you know, put a smile on and go out on the field and, you know, go pet some fake cats or whatever you got to do. Go play some football and just keep going. That's what Mike Sadler would want. And I think that's what the team has to focus on. Really got to keep the Sadler family in mind right now too, though, because, you know, nobody ever wants to bury their son, their brother at such a young age. You know, nobody wants to do that. And that's what the Sadler family has to do. And Mike Sadler didn't get into that car thinking that would be the last time he was driving a car. It's just stunning. Nobody should die at 24 years old. And same goes with Sam Fultz. You know, condolences and prayers, and prayers and thoughts go out to the families and the people surrounding both of those young men, because that's, you know, it's a sad day, and we have to remember that. But you got to remember Mike Sadler for what he would want you to remember him for, and that's the wit, that's the Twitter superstar, that's the guy who was really, he was going to go to Stanford Law School. He wants you to remember for the legacy he had. It was 24 years, but it was like 60 or 70 years worth of stuff in that life that he lived, which is, it's a really incredible legacy that he's left behind.
Oh, I know. And I mean, you talked about his dad. I never had any. I mean, I had a couple sentences like back and forth with Sadler at one time, you know. But you could just tell the type of person that he was. Everything that you've seen from all these tributes from his former teammates, from family, from friends, from loved ones, talking about the type of person he is, you could tell that none of it is exaggerated. Just in those few short sentences. I remember I was walking back from a tailgate, and I saw this vehicle, and it was the spring game of 2014. So it was right after Michigan State won the Rose Bowl. And I saw this vehicle with the Rose Bowl license plate. And I was like, man, they had that kind of whipped up pretty quick. And so I was like, hey, you know what, I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to show them. Be like, oh, I wish I would have done this. So I'm getting ready to take the picture, and Mike Sadler's dad walks up to me. It was his vehicle. And he goes, I was like, you had that put together kind of quick. He goes, no, I did that when D'Antonio recruited my son. He said that he would win a Rose Bowl. So that's what we did. And, I mean, it ended up happening. Sadler, obviously, probably the most important part of that team, given the way they played defense. He had the ability to pin everybody within the 5 or 10 yard line. That team, whatever team they were playing, they could not move the ball 90 yards on that Michigan State defense in 2013. And so he was a pivotal part of that team. But without me even kind of asking about his kid or anything like that, they went on this 5 to 10 minute one-way conversation with me, just talking about how great of a kid he is and how much he loved him and everything like that. And I mean, that goes to show you, Mike, what you said. I mean, it goes beyond football. It is a human being. Excuse me. It's an unfortunate situation, especially given the circumstances. You want to talk about somebody who had their the world literally at their fingertips with everything that he was doing. He said he was going to Stanford Law, 4-time academic All-American, the first Spartan to ever do anything like that. And so to lose a life is one thing, but to lose someone that young who had so much potential and, like you said, lived pretty much 60 or 70 years within a 24-year span, I mean, that's what really hurt. Seth, let's get your thoughts on it. I know that you were at Big Ten Media Day. I know a lot of the coaches said stuff. What were some of the things that you heard?
Well, I mean, right away, Patrick Jones was the first coach. They split the 2 days of the course since they have half the teams going today and half them tomorrow. And all six coaches today, it was actually odd. Patrick Jones was the first coach, and right away he began it with talking about saying we have heavy hearts with great sadness that I kick off here this morning. And he mentioned that. He mentioned the passing of Sam Foltz and Mike Sadler. And he said, on behalf of Northwestern, our football program, and all our players, we'd like to express our thoughts and prayers to their families, Coach D'Antonio, Coach Riley, and the Spartan Husker families on their tragic loss. Pat Fitzgerald actually talked about the fact that he recruited Mike, and he knew him well. So that hit close to home to him, because obviously with coaches and recruiting, they get to know these guys at a lot closer level than, I mean, they're trying to get them to come to the program, but a lot of them do take a best interest in these guys. So Pastor Joe definitely had a connection to him, so he felt that loss. But the odd thing was all the coaches today, when they got up, they made an opening statement, and then they talked about kind of their year view. All the coaches except Jim Harbaugh of Michigan made a statement expressing their condolences to the Sadler and Foltz family, and just saying their thoughts and prayers were with Husker and Spartan Nation. And I don't know, and it's not, I know this is a Spartan podcast, but I don't know, I don't think it's like a Michigan State thing. I don't want to make it that, but just the fact that Harbaugh didn't really address the situation, I feel like we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, it transcends sports. And for him to kind of just like ignore the situation, I don't, maybe he forgot, maybe he didn't need to ignore it. I don't know. I can't necessarily say that. but he did have five other coaches go before him, and all of them made a statement about the situation. So for him, like, kind of not make a statement about it, that kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think you're right. I don't think it was anything that transcends sports. I think – or not – sorry. I don't think that he did it intentionally. But it's one of those situations where – and we – this is going to be an awkward transition because we did just get done talking about something as tragic as the death of Mike Sather and Sam Fultz. But we don't have any commercial breaks, and so it makes it really hard to try to move forward to – football. I don't think it was anything, and that's what we're going to do here. I don't think it was anything that he did on purpose, but Harbaugh is also a loose cannon,
mm-hmm.
to put it politely. And I think that if he deviates from his script, there's potential for something to go bad, and you've seen that happen in a bunch of his interviews before, specifically the Colin Cowherd one. So I think that might have been part of the reason why he avoided saying something. Again, right now it's all speculation. No one asked him about it. No one did anything along those lines to be like, hey, what about these guys? So... It is all speculation. I don't think it was anything intentional. I don't think it was a Michigan State thing, like you said, Seth.
Yeah.
Mike, let's kind of get your thoughts on what you heard. I know you were watching Media Day from afar.
I was glad that, you know, all the coaches made mention of the Sadler and Fultz passing. It's very important to acknowledge that. And to touch on what you guys were talking about with Harbaugh, I don't think it, I honestly, at the end of the day, it's not to be made of a huge deal of, because Harbaugh, you're right, he deviates from his script. He kind of just goes on whatever happens. Maybe the first thought for him that came to mind was, you know, I should probably just talk about my players that are here. And that's what he did. He talked about Jake Butt, Amara Darboh, and Jordan Lewis.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess we'll see tomorrow if other coaches mentioned Sadler and Fultz, as you know D'Antonio will. If all the other coaches do it, he might hear a little bit of noise. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't think Sadler and Fultz are looking down and shaming Harbaugh for it necessarily. It's one of those things. It's not about the rivalry. That's just kind of who Jim Harbaugh is. As you said, he's kind of a person who is on in his own little world. So sometimes in your own little world, you just kind of do your own thing, and it may not match up with what other people do. So that's probably just the way it is for Harbaugh, but it was good to see other coaches get up there and talk about it. We talked about how Pat Fitzgerald specifically mentioned how he recruited Mike, and, you know, so he knew the family, he knew Mike personally. And, you know, other interesting storylines in the day is you got Chris Ash transitioning from Ohio State to Rutgers. That was an interesting look. He's doing well with the recruiting ground, so that was probably another interest of the day. You got Tracy Clays taking over at Minnesota for Jerry Kill. I know he mentioned the Sadler and Fultz passing, which I know that program at Minnesota has received a lot of support from the other Big Ten programs, given what Jerry Kill has gone through over the past few years. So really, somewhat of a boring day, because, you know, obviously we're a Michigan State podcast here, so no D'Antonio today. And really, you had Harbaugh, but you kind of hear about Harbaugh every single day, so there's really not many surprises. I mean, I guess there's surprises because you don't ever know what the guy's going to say or do, but you kind of expect to hear about him whether there's media days or not. And then really just the touching on, you had a lot of really mediocre programs in the conference talking about what their seasons are going to look like, the new quarterbacks in the conference and such. So really, really kind of a I think tomorrow will be the more interesting day of the 2 days.
Oh, I mean, I think you're absolutely right there. You have you have Urban Meyer going tomorrow. You have Lovie Smith going tomorrow. I think that was a huge gift for Illinois. Obviously, Mark Antonio, he's won the Big Ten. Kirk Ferentz, he was up there. So it really was just a little bit slower of a day, all things considered. I think the one person, obviously, outside of the media attention that Jim Harbaugh gets that people wanted to hear from was Mike Riley. He made a statement last night. He was unavailable today. Seth, what was the atmosphere like as they were missing the Nebraska coach?
What was the atmosphere like with what? Sorry, you cut out there for a second.
What was the atmosphere like without the Nebraska coach, Mike Riley, there?
Well, they had announced the previous day, or the days leading up to, kind of right after that the players wouldn't be attending, but they opened the conference even the before they were starting. They kind of just made that announcement again that following the passing of Sam Foles, the coach Mike Riley and the players wouldn't be attending. And even on the website, it's kind of on there, on the Big Ten .org website, talking about the conference, lining up the teams, and it's even updated on there, saying that Nebraska is not attending following the passing of Sam Foles. I mean, it was just it was pretty somber. When he made that opening statement, he kind of did the welcomed everybody to the new year, introduced the new communications team, and then made that statement first. Like, I was made that statement separate. So it kind of just, what it did for me, I noticed, I know this isn't necessarily the Mike Riley thing, but it was kind of the camaraderie of the Big Ten as a conference. It showed that, like, I know it's going back to the same thing, but that it is above sports, and I was very appreciative to see that everybody could come together like that and kind of honor those two for what they did on and off the field.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the interesting storylines that did end up placed today. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh there. Michigan is one of the two favorites for the Big Ten championship, despite the fact that they do not have a quarterback available for them, or not a listed one available for them, such as if you see a Tyler O'Connor and Damian Terry or whatever. There's nothing set in stone like a JT Barrett. Did the quarterback controversy in Ann Arbor get brought up at all?
It didn't really get brought up because I think what I interpreted anyway, after like Harbaugh, like Mike had mentioned, he was gushing about Amari Darva and the Jordan Lewis and Jabril Peppers and Jake Butt. He was kind of just giving what it made it sound like. I think he was with the way that their QB battle is undecided. They don't have a named starter, but regardless of that fact, whatever happens, it's the arrival of that quarterback, whoever it is going to be made a lot easier by all these athletes he's got around him. He just gushed about Jabril Peppers for about a minute or two straight, about how much of an animal he is, even in practice, and how they could put him at pretty much any position on defense, besides the line, of course, but how he would be. I think Harbaugh said at one point, if we put him in the slot right now, he would probably be our best receiver. The QB controversy didn't get brought up, but it just solidified more the team aspect with how set and how competitive this offseason has been. He brought up every practice and every drill, every guy. He's got a statement about getting 1% better every day. And that's kind of been what he's harping on, especially this offseason. So I think they're kind of, although obviously naming a quarterback and finding a starting quarterback is very important, they are still focusing on the team aspect to kind of help carry that load, much like we did when we were replacing, when we had Andrew Maxwell step in. We had the solid defense and Le'Veon Bell, the run game, to help supplement the inexperience.
Yeah, Mike, I know you went to Big Ten Media Days last year. And I understand that there were some questions asked of Harbaugh that were a little different, a little Harbaugh-esque. Ultimately, Big Ten Media Days, they are meant to just kind of like push you, get you through that final push of the summer. What headlines were you expecting to see regarding Jim Harbaugh?
Well, I know a question was asked regarding the entertainment factor and social media and how that plays into recruiting for Harbaugh and the Michigan football program. And I know they even brought up the rap video, and I think Harbaugh said something about cool people like it or something. You know, just a really a bland statement. It's just very broad, but you would expect Harbaugh to say something like that. Really, and I expected that to come out, these questions about social media and how Jim Harbaugh is just the talk of the media and he's everywhere and we hear so much about him every day and how he basically, which, I mean, one thing about Jim Harbaugh is to some level I think he controls the media, but to some level the media is just in love with the guy and they follow him around everywhere. And I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of people that want to hear the name Michigan out there, and when they have not been relevant like they're supposed to be over the last 10 years or so, then, you know, people are going to start to listen when there's somebody that just brings in a new attitude, and that's what Jim Harbaugh has done. And yeah, the success on the field has not completely translated to what Michigan wants to do yet, but the people think that it's going to get to that point. So that's why we're seeing this really social media circus following the Michigan program in Ann Arbor. And so this is really a test of on field now this year. And I think Jim Harbaugh knows that at the end of the day, that you're, you know, so a lot of people are favoring you to win the conference, win the Big Ten East, and take down your two biggest rivals on the road this season, both on the road. This is a test of football that Harbaugh is going into now. And Jim Harbaugh, you just never – I remember when I was at Media Days last year, Joe Shad attempted to ask him so many questions, and he even asked him something about the Ohio State rivalry, and Harbaugh responded that every game has the same amount of importance, and Shad continued to try to probe him, and Harbaugh would not budge. He would not give you any kind of Brady Hoke Ohio quote or anything. He just would not talk about the rivalry at all, and that's just kind of who Jim Harbaugh is. And, there's a media circus that just loves the guy, but he generates it to some level himself, and I think that, you know, that was the speculation today, and that's what people were interested in. And they probably got a lot of the answers they thought that really didn't answer the question. They just expected to hear the things out of Harbaugh's mouth that they heard.
Mike, let's kind of deviate from U of M a little bit. What other things are you kind of looking forward to? I know it was a really slow day, but there were a couple other things that probably been a little more exciting.
I would say you're looking at the Big Ten West and who's going to win the Big Ten West. I think a lot of people are favoring the Iowa Hawkeyes, having come off undefeated regular season into their last two games where they really disappointed in the Big Ten Championship and the Rose Bowl. I think the Big Ten West is really wide open. I think it's going to be a lot like – I think everybody's naturally favoring the Hawkeyes, but I think you could see a Northwestern with Pat Fitzgerald compete for that division. And he always seems to have his program up there, and Pat talks about consistency and loyalty to the program, and he continued that theme today. And then you got a Minnesota team that, frankly, had a couple of very close fourth-quarter games that Tracy Clay has talked about. And speaking of Michigan, one of those was that game where they were a goal-line stop away from defeating Michigan at their home place. So that really was an interesting thing to take a look at today, that Big Ten West that is so wide open. And then you got a guy like Daryl Hazel, who's really coming into a crucial year where Purdue is starting to think, you know, we might need to become bowl eligible in these next couple of years to really show improvement in this program. So Hazel, you know, a guy that doesn't get the best recruits out there, but seems to have guys buying into that program. Can he take that next step, kind of like what Kevin Wilson has done over in Bloomington. Are they able to do that? And then you also had in the Rutgers program and how they're really starting to recruit a little bit better this off season. And does that Ohio State pedigree that he brings to the table, does that toughen up the Scarlet Knights a little bit? Can they get beyond that 6 or 7 win mark and become a second tier team in that Big Ten East? Those are the kind of questions.
Let's kind of talk about Rutgers a little bit. Chris Ash is the new coach. He has a nice little pedigree to go with him. Steph, what did you take away from him?
It's like a lot of the coaches talk about at the beginning, turn around the culture and the tradition of the program. But I think that Chris Ash is a really good guy for that. He comes from, obviously, a good football background. And after spending time with Urban Meyer at Ohio State, he knows how to run a team. He learned from one of the best in the game. So he talked about a lot of today. Let's see, here it is. I have the quote, actually. Hang on 1 second.
Hey, not a problem. It's all right. We got time. Like 3 minutes.
But yeah, he talked about the foundation, the culture, and the environment, the behavior, and the performance that our players have given us in a short amount of time. He talks about accountability, structure, discipline. He talked about the fact that when he took the job, he didn't want to take it unless they were committed, that Rutgers, the university, was committed to the Big Ten, and they were committed to building a contender. He didn't want to just kind of come in and just be there as a coach, whatever happens. He, right away from the very beginning, he was driven. So from his conference today, there was a lot of opening statement today and interview at the podium following that. There were a lot of questions about his starting his new era there at Rutgers. And from everything he said, he sounds like the right man for the job. They have a quarterback competition, of course, but other than that, they're just working every day to try and improve.
We got about 2.5 minutes left. Seth, I do want to get your thoughts on someone who, I mean, I told you guys before the show started, I consider to be like a Harbaugh light, James Franklin, when he came in, immediately raised the expectations at Penn State to return him to a contender, obviously struggled over the last couple of years. Their best tackler has a hard time tackling Michigan State's center. And so what did you kind of get from James Franklin, though? Even though he kind of is in his first couple of seasons, it feels like he needs to do something miraculous with this program.
He acknowledged that. One of the questions was, you've had 7 wins the last 2 seasons, but the fans are looking for improvement. So what can you do to improve that? And he acknowledged the high expectations of Penn State, and he welcomed that. He embraced that. He said there should be. But he thinks that the progress is going to be slow. It's not just going to be snap. He talked about it's not going to be just like an overnight. Surprisingly, the biggest thing he mentioned was special teams. He said he didn't think that was nearly that enough people talked about, but he said they had every one of their snappers, like long snappers, punters, kickers, back, and he's excited that they had that back because he said that was a very underrated part of the game of football that people don't realize.
Hey, well, I'm pretty sure a lot of Michigan State fans realized how important special teams was after all of the close calls that it cost them last season. I mean, they
definitely
did end up winning the games, but it made games a lot closer than it should have been. But that does it for us today. The athletes representing Michigan State, RJ Shelton, Riley Bolo, Josiah Price, they're not going to be available until later tomorrow. So we will be back to talk about the second day of Big Ten Media Days on Wednesday. It will be later morning or in the afternoon. We are trying to get Craig Jarrett, former Michigan State punter, on the show as he's looking to start up a Mike Sadler scholarship fund. So we'll be hoping to talk to him about that. For Mike Sterner and Seth Kinker, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. Rest in peace, Mike Sadler.